31, beginning our reading at the 31st verse. Here begins the reading of God's holy word. The Lord says, "The time is coming when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the old commandment and covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. Although I was like a husband to them, they did not keep that covenant. The new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel will be this: I will put my law within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. None of them will have to teach a neighbor to know the Lord, because all will know me, from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their sins, and I will no longer remember their wrongs. I, the Lord, have spoken." Then we turn to the epistle for the morning from Hebrews chapter 5, beginning reading at the 5th verse. "In the same way, Christ did not take upon himself the honor of being a high priest. Instead, God said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have become your father.' He also said in another place, 'You will be a priest forever in the priestly order of Melchizedek.' In his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and with tears to God, who could save him from death. Because he was humble and devoted, God heard him. But even though he was God's son, he learned through his sufferings to be obedient. When he was made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God declared him to be high priest in the priestly order of Melchizedek." And lastly, from the Gospel according to St. John, reading from John's Gospel in chapter 12, beginning our reading at the 20th verse. "Some Greeks among those who had gone to Jerusalem to worship during the festival, and they went to Philip," he was from Bethsaida in Galilee, "and said, 'Sir, we want to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew, and the two of them went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, 'The hour has now come for the Son of Man to find his great glory. I'm telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. If it does die, then it produces many grains. Those who love their own life will lose it. Those who hate their own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am, and my Father will honor anyone who serves me." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray again. You come to us, Father, and you teach us. And we ask that you will now guide us in direction as we apply your word to our lives, to find those things that are there and find the lessons that you will share with us, that we may take something from this sanctuary this morning, which will be a part of our lives in the week that is before us. To your name, honor, and glory. Amen. If you will, please pretend or imagine in your mind that there are two people standing in front of me. On this side of me is a man with beautiful, beautiful robes that go all the way from his neck all the way down to the ground. There are gold and silver things that are woven into that robe. On the top of his head is a gold crown or a mitre, and he stands over here. Right here in front of me is someone else. It's a man draped in a purple robe. He has a crown of thorns upon his head. You can see the blood running down his forehead and dripping off of his nose. You can see the spit on his robe where they have mocked him and where they have scourged him. Those two standing before you and me this morning are both priests. They are in the order of Melchizedek. Where in the world does the word Melchizedek come from? I've never read that in the Bible, you're going to say to yourself. Go to the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, we read about Melchizedek. When Abram came back from the victory over Kedar Adma and the other kings, the king of Sodom, went out to meet him in Sheba Valley, also called King's Valley. And Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem and also a priest of the Most High God, brought bread and wine to Abraham. And he blessed him and said, "May the Most High God, who made heaven and earth, bless Abram. May the Most High God, who gives you victory over your enemies, be praised." And Abram gave Melchizedek a tenth of all of the loot that he had received. And the king of Sodom said to Abram, "Keep the loot, but give it back to my people." Melchizedek, that's him over there. This guy with the crown of thorns is the name Jesus. Both of them are priests. The priest comes to Abraham to do something, to be a blessing to Abram and his people. And in the knowledge of that, there is the comparison that is made in the order of Melchizedek, which comes into the life of Jesus Christ as the high priest of the New Testament. This old priest comes to Abram in a time of need. Abram has just now fought another battle to gain the land that God has promised to him. They're tired. They've been fighting for a long time. They're hungry. They're thirsty. It's not the way we fight battles today, where a man sits in Utah someplace and punches a button and blows up a building in Iraq or Afghanistan with a drone. This was hand-to-hand combat. It would go on for days and sometimes weeks, and they would continually battle back and forth for that particular piece of land. And that has taken place with Abram and the followers that are there as God leads them into that promised land. They are tired, they are hungry, they're weary. They have been fighting and fighting hard. And finally, they overcome that particular band of people. And now they have needs. The needs that are met by a priest who comes to them and blesses them, gives them wine and gives them bread and feeds them food. He nourishes their bodies and he also enriches their souls in the long struggle that they have gone through and in the reality of the need which now faced them. And finally, Melchizedek gives to the people of Abram a blessing, and especially to Abraham. Abram at this point, Abraham later. He gives a blessing to Abram, saying, "You will be blessed by God in unique and special ways. And God will sustain you, and God will hold you, and God will guide you, and God will continually direct you in what you are going to do as you come into this land to fulfill God's promise to you." Remember, these were not warriors. They were farmers. They were artisans. They were not soldiers. And they come to fight those who have already armies waiting for them. And yet God allows them to overcome all of the nations that they come in contact with until finally the land of Canaan is theirs. Okay, now go from Melchizedek. Go over to this other man, to this other priest named Jesus Christ. He is your high priest. He is my high priest. By the very nature of what he does, in the very sacrifice that he makes for all of us, like I told the children with those four nails, or with that crown and those three nails, we go to the priest, as they did in the Old Testament, to confess our sins. We go to the priest, and when we make our confession of sins, our sins are laid upon the animal that's going to be offered on the sacrifice of the altar. The sins that you confess on that lamb or that bullock, whatever you brought, are then consumed by fire. And in the temple is a huge hole in the roof, and the smoke ascends to God. The smoke testifies to the sins of God's people which have been confessed to the priest. And now they rise to God, and God says, "I will take them away." The priest is instrumental in the process of our confession and of our forgiveness, as he was in the Old Testament. We may go to a priest from the backgrounds that some of us come. I know that some of us are from the background of the Roman Catholic Church and the Episcopalian Church. We go to a priest and we tell the priest that these are the things that we have done wrong. And the priest then takes them into God's presence. We don't actually come into God's presence when we make that confession. The confession is the purpose of getting our sins before God through the priest and via the priest. Then he seeks forgiveness for us, giving us oblations, giving us certain things that we need to do to somehow compensate for our sins and to reveal that we are sorry for those sins. The priests were holy. They were God's choosing. They were God's servants. And all of the people from the world come to the temple, and there they find the sacrifices being offered on the altar. The Ark of the Covenant is entrusted to the priests. They are to take care of the Ark of the Covenant, which contains the Ten Commandments of Moses. They are given a specific task to guard that with their lives and to protect it at all cost. The priest has a specific role to play in the religious encounter of the Jewish people and of people like you and me. Out of Melchizedek comes Jesus Christ, in the order of Melchizedek. And I want you to see something about this priest named Jesus Christ. He does the same things in your life and in my life that Melchizedek did for a man called Abram. Abram had a need, and into that need comes Melchizedek. You and I have a need, and God comes into our need to know us, to be a part of us, to experience the things that we experience in our lives. Jesus Christ lived a life just like you live, without sin. But he knows what it means to be tempted. He knows what it means to lose a friend like Lazarus. He knows what it means to be hungry. He knows what it means to be somehow shunned off by people. He knows all of the experiences that you and I go through. This priest, with the crown of thorns, enters into your life and my life like Melchizedek entered into the life of Abram, there in the need to be a part of what we experience, to be a part of what we know, and to know what we need along the way. Abram and his people are tired and hungry and cold and thirsty. And along comes Melchizedek with all of his train of people to feed the children of Israel, to share with them bread and wine. This priest, named Jesus, does the same thing for you and me. He nourishes us and our souls. He feeds us with his body and with his blood. He sustains us with the presence of his Holy Spirit. He comes to be a part of you and me to remind us of his love over and over again, which is never drained, but a love which constantly and always abides. And then he takes one step further. He becomes your sacrifice. The sacrifice that is offered on the temple altar must be perfect, without spot, without blemish. You gave God your best, and when you did that, God was pleased. Jesus Christ becomes your sacrifice and my sacrifice. With the crown of thorns and with the nails in his hands and feet, he is offered upon the altar of God on a cross. And on that cross, he takes away our sins and gives us salvation. We can confess to that Christ because he gives us peace even in the midst of our sins. And our sins are laid upon him as he makes the perfect sacrifice without spot and without blemish. He is willing to do that for you and for me in the complete sacrifice that he makes in his death upon the cross. Both priests give something. Both priests are a part of a process called salvation and forgiveness. Your priest is named Jesus. He takes upon himself your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world. And he makes that sacrifice. And that sacrifice is accepted by God because on Easter morning, he walks out of the tomb alive. If God had not accepted his sacrifice, Jesus Christ would have never walked out of that tomb. But because God accepted his sacrifice and forgives your sins and my sins, Jesus Christ can walk out of the tomb and say, I am alive, and the sacrifice has been made. But here, my friend, is the beautiful part of this story. You and I have a priest who does not just listen to our sins. You and I have a priest who bears our sins on the cross, who dies for our sins. He doesn't just take your sins into the presence of God and say, here's Charlie Stickley, forgive him of his sins. No, he's willing to die for Charlie Stickley. He's willing to die for all of us. And he goes into the presence of God and says, forgive the sins of this one, because this one is mine. I have found the sacrifice and know the fulfillment of that sacrifice in my life like you found it in yours. And the beauty of our priest is not just one who listens to our sins. He knows our sins. And he redeems us from them on the cross of Calvary. Lastly, our priest does not just represent us. Our priest knows what it's like to be one of us. He has walked in your shoes for at least 2 miles. He knows your temptations. He knows your frustrations. He knows your pain. He knows everything that you experience in your life. And he is a priest who is a part of you in the rich gift of God's love as that is showered upon you day in and day out. So I say to you this morning, you have got something to rejoice about. You've got a priest who knows you, a priest who loves you, and a priest who is willing to die for you. That priest is named Jesus Christ, who dies upon the cross to take away your sins and my sins. He takes our place. And as I said to those children, those nails and that crown of thorn should have been ours, but he takes it all for us, in order that he may take away our sins. Here's the beauty of your priest. You can walk with him anywhere you want to go. And now, you can even go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, and say to God, this is what I need, this is what I am, this is where I'm at in my life. You can go into the Holy of Holies. You don't have to stay out of the side of the temple. You can go to the innermost parts of the temple, because your priest does more than just hear your sins. Your priest died for your sins. And he says, everything before me is now yours. Everything I have, I give to you. I give you the gift of eternal life. I give you forgiveness. I give you love. Into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, with this priest, who is of the order of Melchizedek, because he loves you enough to die for you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming into the world. We thank you for all those things that you share with us as you come into the world. We thank you for